And now there was this. By the feel of it, Rincewind was lying on sand. It was very cold. He took the risk of seeing something horrible and opened his eyes. The first thing he saw was his left arm, and surprisingly, his hand. It was its normal grubby self. He had expected to see a stump. It seemed to be night time. The beach, or whatever it was, stretched on towards a line of distant low mountains under a night sky frosted with a million white stars. A little closer to him, there was a rough line in the silvery sand. He lifted his head slightly and saw the scatter of molten droplets. They were Octoron, a metal so intrinsically magical that no forge on the disk could even warm it up.
"Oh," he said. "We won, then."
He flopped down again. After a while, his right hand came up automatically and patted the top of his head. Then it patted the sides of his head. Then it began to grope with increasing urgency in the sand around him. Eventually, it must have communicated its concern to the rest of Rincewind, because he pulled himself upright and said, "Oh, bugger." There seemed to be no hat anywhere, but he could see a small white shape lying very still in the sand a little way away, and further off, a column of daylight. It hummed and swayed in the air, a three-dimensional hole into somewhere else. Occasional flurries of snow blew out of it. He could see skewed images in the light that might be buildings or landscapes warped by the weird curvature. But he couldn't see them very clearly because of the tall, brooding shadows that surrounded it. The human mind is an astonishing thing. It can operate on several layers at once. And in fact, while Rincewind had been wasting his intellect in groaning and looking for his hat, an inner part of his brain had been observing, assessing, analysing, and comparing. Now it crept up to his cerebellum, tapped it on the shoulder, thrust a message into its hand, and ran for it. The message ran something like this. "I hope I find me well. The last trial of magic has been too much for the tortured fabric of reality. It has opened a hole. I am in the dungeon dimensions, and the things in front of me are the things. It has been nice knowing me." The particular thing nearest Rincewind was at least 20 feet high. It looked like a dead horse that had been dug up after 3 months and then introduced to a range of new experiences, at least one of which had included an octopus. It hadn't noticed Rincewind. It was too busy concentrating on the light. Rincewind crawled back to the still body of Coin and nudged it gently.
"Are you alive?" he said. "If you're not, I'd prefer it if you didn't answer."
Coin rolled over and stared up at him with puzzled eyes. After a while, he said,
"I remember..."
"Best not to," said Rincewind.
The boy's hand groped vaguely in the sand beside him.
"It isn't here anymore," said Rincewind quietly.
The hand stopped its searching. Rincewind helped Coin to sit up. He looked blankly at the cold silver sand, then at the sky, then at the distant things, and then at Rincewind.
"I don't know what to do," he said.
"No harm in that. I've never known what to do," said Rincewind with hollow cheerfulness. "Been completely at a loss my whole life." He hesitated. "Oh, I think it's called being human or something."
"But I've always known what to do."
Rincewind opened his mouth to say that he'd seen some of it, but changed his mind. Instead, he said,
"Chin up. Look on the bright side. It could be worse."
Coin took another look around.
"In what respect, exactly?" he said, his voice a shade more normal. "What is this place?"
"It's a sort of other dimension. The magic broke through and we went with it, I think."
"And those things?"
They regarded the things.
"I think they're, things. They're trying to get back through the hole," said Rincewind. "It isn't easy. Energy levels or something. I remember we had a lecture on them once.
Coin nodded and reached out a thin, pale hand towards Rincewind's forehead.
"Do you mind?" he began.
Rincewind shuddered at the touch.
"Mind what?" he said.
"If I have a look in your head."
"Brr!"
"It's rather a mess in here. No wonder you can't find things."
"Brr!"
"You ought to have a clear out."
"Ugh!"
"Ah." Rincewind felt the presence retreat. Coin frowned.
"We can't let them get through," he announced. "They have horrible powers. They're trying to will the hole bigger. They can do it. They've been waiting to break into our world for..."
He frowned.
"Eons."
"Eons," said Rincewind.
Coin opened his other hand, which had been tightly clenched, and showed Rincewind the small grey pearl.